Live from Muir Island, it's the Geek Show.
My island?
Muir Island.
No, Muir Island.
Oh, Muir Island. Oh, Muir Island. I meant my island. Okay.
Well played.
Oh, I was going to say Gilligan's Island. Maybe.
I have an appointment with Moira X.
Yeah. On this episode of Geek Show. And it's way different from Love Island. I know that.
Geek Show.
Yeah. I thought you were just saying that every X-Man is an island.
Yes.
It's also very different from the Isle of Lucy.
But not too different from the Isle of Dr. Moreau.
I see what you did there.
Oh, he knows his islands. Lost. He's Lee George Cade, everybody.
Pleasure to be here.
Let's see. Oh, Tony. Hi, Quad T. Too Tall Tony is here as well.
Hi, Tony.
Hi. Geek Show Arcade, Geek Show Help Desk.
All right.
Are we plugging things?
Ka-chow.
Sure. Plug. That's, plug away.
Geek Show Tabletop soon.
Soon?
And this time I'm not teasing.
This time it's for real.
All right. Looking forward to it. I have a feeling that Robert will have something to do with that as well.
Yeah. To play.
And Rebecca Frost is here as well.
Hey, big news, newly minted member of the Utah Film Critics Association.
Wow.
So now you have to take my reviews seriously, everybody.
I refuse.
I already took them seriously.
Go ahead.
I would say that Rebecca, she's going somewhere.
I thought your motto, Rebecca, was I won't belong to an organization that would allow me as a member. I thought that was your motto.
Yeah, I know.
And hey, let's not forget our host.
Monday through Friday, 6 to 10, x96.com. I'll never be a member of that guild because the movies happen at night. And you know,
nothing happens for Curry at night.
You can watch movies anytime.
All right.
What about the Lollipop Guild?
What about
the Lollipop? Is that a short joke? Is that...
Hey, if anybody's going to make a short joke, it's going to be me.
Rob's allowed.
Yes.
Are you a small statured person?
Have you not met Rob in person, Lee?
No, because I have this strange thing. Like I remember people by the impression they make on me, and he's always been a giant to me. So,
good catch.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice one.
Well done.
But it's also Tony and I live in this stratosphere where
that's true.
Sometimes the office is so light.
But, yeah. What's the weather like up there?
You know, what's weird is living as tall as I am for as long as I have been, everyone just is normal to me. I don't notice people are shorter than me until I think about it.
Do you guys play basketball?
That takes skill and coordination, which I only have like for painting and drawing.
And Rebecca, white guys can't jump.
You know what? I can attest to that.
They don't have to jump
if they're so tall.
I've tried many times, and it just that paper never. I can never pull that paper out from underneath my shoe when I jump.
My poor wife thinks anybody under 6 feet is short, so she's like, "Yeah, he's just a little guy." It's like he's 5'11", Rachel.
Ladies, or I guess partners, if you have a partner who's taller than you, do that thing where you put your phone and face the camera to where your partner's eye height is so you can see what you look like to them. Uppies. Like, if you uppies. Ever want to feel just like so dehumanized,
uppies.
Yeah. Uppies, please. Like, that's what you look like.
Oh, the day my wife realized that I hide all of the Christmas presents on top of shelves and the fridge and stuff like that because no one else can see there.
Yeah. I never saw the point of jumping myself. Anyway, I mean, at all.
It's overrated.
It is. Let's talk about, I know Tony's excited, the Fallout trailer. We got a new one.
Baby, this is
so
good.
Freaking good.
Good trailer.
I myself have played New Vegas as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's see. So it's on Prime Video.
That Brotherhood of Steel armor. Just
Amazon released a new trailer. Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy's take on a Fallout.
A Fallout.
I think this is going to be the best video game adaptation of all time.
That's a bold statement after The Last of Us last year.
That's true.
Oh, I forgot. That's just so good that I forgot it was based off a video game.
See?
Yeah. It'll happen. Let's see. So it's an inhabitant of the mysterious numbered underground bunkers, social experiment chambers built to withstand a devastating thermonuclear war, Lucy. Who leaves the confines of Vault 33 to brave the wastelands left behind, and she meets all kinds of crazy, wacky people upstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're using, of course, the Ink Spots' I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire, a song I recall from late nights at Bill and Nada's having Brains and Eggs.
They had the best jukebox because they were at every table, but yes. Ink Spots feature very prominently in Fallout, like not just that song. Like,
oh, good.
Almost every Ink Spot song.
There's Fallout Radio you can listen to.
Yep.
And
oh.
It's a bunch
of old-timey stuff.
But yeah, go take a look at this. It starts April 11th, so pretty soon.
And all episodes. All episodes drop at once. Yep.
Really?
First look at the West Coast and the Fallout universe, too. They did Utah. They did parts of Utah. They did Nevada. They did Boston.
Yeah, and Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
What's the name of that mech suit? Does he have a name? Who's he?
He's wearing a Brotherhood of Steel
Of Steel. Okay.
Yeah. They call it power armor.
He doesn't look a damn thing like Shaq. What are you talking about?
They are religious fanatics.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Or that was religious fanatics.
They got philosophy fanatics, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I loved the look of that armor.
They got Zeppelins. And
who are the guys that took over Vegas based off of Caesar's Palace?
Oh, the dang it! What was their name? I forgot.
I remember.
But yeah, they have a whole. They have a whole ancient Rome.
Oh no, they're still around too.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. They have a whole ancient Rome vibe going on. The ones that took over Caesar's Palace and everything.
Yeah, they're all wearing Legionnaire armor and
yeah. So that's what they're called. Centurions at that point. They're the Legionnaires.
Yeah.
No, those are the Legionnaires.
All right.
Which side? Yeah, that's
I'll watch the show and learn with all of
you. We're going to love it. I'm going to hold my own hands and cry.
All right.
Fallout is so good.
Let's get some quick housekeeping, and then we'll get to the rest of the news. Of course, our Patreon. Or no, let's start with Lee. Lee's had a rough week. He didn't have to go back to the hospital, luckily, but he did have a rough week. It was very close. And if you can help out the Cades with all the medical bills... We're coming up on that 1 million mark. I mean their bills, not the money that you've donated.
Yeah.
But thank you for all of the money that you have donated. Go to our social medias. It's right there. Use that Venmo QR code, and it directly goes right to the Cades. No middlemen, no stuff taken off the top or anything like that.
Staggering how generous people have been, so thank you. I don't talk about it too much because I get emotional and people get sad when I cry.
So help the Cades out. I'm donating a box of Frankenberry. That's how...
Priceless.
All right. And, of course, our merch, geekshow.store. We're going to be, we love seeing stuff out in the wild. It's some good-looking merch. I really, really love this logo. And it looks great on the hoodie, I think. That's where it really shines, is the hoodie, myself.
Yep. And we're seeing pictures of the hoodie from around the world now.
Oh, really? That's right.
We are, indeed.
Yeah.
Where about?
We got a picture from one of the last pieces of the Berlin Wall posted on the Geek Show fan account on Facebook.
There you go. So geekshow.store for that. Also, our Patreon, where you can get secret stuff, including, I hear, coming soon, something from Lee and Robert?
Yeah.
In the Patreon?
Mm. Yeah, we're going to follow Rebecca's cue and post it early on Patreon and then a week later on
the feed.
Yeah.
But you can see our after party exclusively there. Hear it there. There's a podcast version if you don't want to sit and look at our beautiful faces. Videos and extra content all found there at geekshowgotthiscovered.com is the quick link to our Patreon. And we do another show right after this show on our Patreon. So go join. Do it. All right. Let's see. People are loving this Avatar The Last Airbender.
That's the blue one.
Save that for later. I have that Avatar news coming up.
Avatar.
It's this one here.
So you're saying after the neckbeard knee-jerk reaction phase passed, people actually came forward and started saying, yeah, it's fun?
People say so good that that Netflix has renewed it for two more seasons, and that will be it. So you'll get three seasons of
all three
live
books.
Action.
Awesome.
I was going to say, I think there were only three seasons of the cartoon, right? Yeah, so...
Of that one. I think that Korra had two.
Well, then you had Korra, yeah.
But, but if they do Korra, I would be totally down for that as well.
Well, they're going to outage the kids, and that's
true.
You can't have 24-year-old Aang fighting the Fire Lord.
Stranger Things begs to differ.
So does Back to the Future.
Since the show's debut, it's at last check last week, it was 41.1 million views.
Oh, great.
So that's huge. So, well, yeah, you're getting two more seasons of that.
On IMDb, it's sitting at a 7.3, which for IMDb, that's pretty, pretty high.
Solid.
Yeah, especially considering how many bot accounts are out there with an agenda. Oh, yeah. But here's the thing. It's not revolutionary. It's not going to change your life, but it's going to introduce a whole bunch of people to a really cool IP because the animated series is over 20 years old now.
Yeah, oh, can you believe that?
Or about 20 years old. So great animated series, really fun, very faithful live action adaptation. There is nothing that's going to ruin your love of the original from watching this.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next. Okay. Well, we got to address this. Cerveza Cristal.
I had no idea what this was until I stumbled across the explanation yesterday on Reddit. Yeah. I was like, what the heck is
it? For those who are just seeing it and not wondering what it is, they just think that it's the internet being the internet.
That's what I thought at first, too.
When the original Star Wars movies were dubbed by TV broadcasters in different countries in the early aughts, a Chilean ad agency, OMD Santiago, they came up with a plan for Cristal beer. They convinced broadcasters to run in-movie advertisements for the beer so that you didn't have a messy edit or a regular ad break. Instead, you got in-character moments like Obi-Wan opening up the chest in his homestead to reveal not just Anakin's lightsaber within, but a refreshing complete with the jingle.
Okay, hold on. I'm a little disappointed now that I think about this, because Colt 45 and Lando missed an opportunity here.
Oh, they sure did, didn't they?
Oh, man.
Let's see. So, but these are real. They checked with the Chilean people to see, did they air, not just in Star Wars, but across several major films in 2004. This ad agency won a major advertising award.
Is he gonna pour out a beer? Lucasfilm
was not happy about this at all.
Oh, I bet they were.
I can't imagine why.
Cerveza Cristal.
The only thing keeping the shields around the Death Star was that bottle of beer.
I was gonna say what we're learning here is Obi-Wan is an old drunken hobo.
Yeah,
so now we know, but now we know where Lando ordered from.
Enjoy a Cerveza Cristal that doesn't make him an alcoholic.
Look, he's the only one in the show that pulls it out of nowhere all the time.
I don't know if it's in this YouTube video, but there's a scene from Empire Strikes Back that has actors that has actual production value that adds to the movie.
They did the Emperor's hand in one of them, and he had the robe, and his skin was all white and everything. Yeah.
If they didn't have Wilro Hood stop and open up the bucket.
Oh, Wilro Hood should have brought the Cristal.
Yeah, Yoda hid
Lando should have had it on the table when Darth Vader had Han and everybody come to dinner. It's like,
works every time.
Should have been in bowls of ice on the table.
If you're listening on the podcast and not watching this, go to YouTube and search All Star Wars Chile Beer Ads.
Amazing.
And, there's a smash cut of all of them.
Oh, here he comes. You go summon it.
And he uses the force to bring it to him.
Cerveza Cristal. I gotta make that my text tone or something. It's gotta happen. Anyway, so there you go.
The best.
And the best meme I saw about this online was Marty McFly and the words underneath him from the closed captioning. It said, "I can tell you guys aren't ready for this, but your kids are gonna love it." Because there were complaints in the 90s from people watching the Star Wars movies. Naturally, there would be, of course. They're Star Wars fans. There were complaints. But now, later, we have learned that this is a wonderful, crazy, wonderful thing. All right. Let's see. Let's talk about some Disney stuff. Star Wars and Disneyland stuff. Let's start with Disneyland. What's cool about Star Tours is that it can easily and quickly be updated, and in my estimation, not updated quickly enough.
Yeah.
They stayed with the original ride a little too long for me. But then they started adding more and adding more footage, and now they're adding even more. We're adding Ahsoka, Andor, and The Mandalorian and Grogu, all on this Star Tours ride. Everyone here's ridden Star Wars or Star Tours, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Y'all know what it is.
16 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a flight. It's a flight simulator. So you're essentially being shaken around watching a movie, and it's a lot of fun.
And if you go on the back, you're going to get your head knocked off.
The back is the best place to be.
So yeah. there was a tweet that I saw that summed up my reaction perfectly. Mandalorian Star Tours, help me get chicken nuggets for my son. Ahsoka Star Tours, will you help me and these space whales find our friend? Andor Star Tours, are you ready to give up all chances at inner peace to make your mind a sunless place to share your dreams with ghosts?
Wow. That escalated quickly.
I think the Andor one's going to be very dramatic. All right. Wow. Planning
for a sunrise I'll never see.
This is starting on April 5th. So a lot of people are on spring break at that time. But that also coincides with the Season of the Force annual Star Wars celebration at Disneyland. Runs through June 2nd. And,
Wars. One little tiny nitpick with the new Star Tours stuff. And it was, last time we were there, they had stuff from Force Awakens. And it was great. Yeah. Like, I was so happy to see Poe escorting the cruiser. Mm-hmm. And then it cut to another scene, and then we came back, and it was something from Return of the Jedi, and it was just like,
yeah, they started shuffling them.
Keep it together. I want to keep flying with Poe, or I want to keep. And that's just me being nitpicky. My kids didn't care; they thought it was fantastic. But
yeah, they've started shuffling it, and the idea being is that the more you ride, the different combinations you get. That's their whole thinking. So anyway, there's that. Also, Disneyland news. Now, I've been to Disney World where they have the Avatar land. And, it's really cool, I have to say. And especially if you were a fan of Avatar, it's doubly cool. And honestly, the Avatar riding on the back of the flying bug ride that I rode, that was like the best ride that I rode at the park. It was really cool. It's a flight simulator on a... You're on kind of a motorcycle kind of a thing, but it makes you feel like you're on the back of those flying dragons, bugs, or whatever they are. But Bob Iger, this week, at the Q&A at the Morgan Stanley Technology Media Telecom Conference, said that, the reason this is news is because this is the first time he used the word land. He said, we're going to have an Avatar experience. You know, he's been talking about it, but this is the first time he said land. So my guess is they're just going to open up Avatar Flight of Passage. That's the ride that I was telling you about. There's also the Navi River Journey boat ride. Now, this is all in Florida, but this could happen.
Is that going in on the old Deliverance ride?
See, here's the thing. I don't know where they're going to be able to put this in Anaheim.
Unless they rip out more. I mean, we already lost the Lancelot Inn. How many more CD's 1950s motels are we going to lose to Disneyland?
But, anyway, they've got a plan. They've got an expansion plan that they're talking with Orange County about. I get the occasional Orange County Register news bulletin.
Maybe they're going to build down into the ground.
There you go.
I think they're talking about just completely taking out, because they did have some employee buildings there for a while.
Yeah, like, you don't need those.
Oh, yeah.
Rip those out.
Forget the employees.
Nah.
The last time I was there with Agent Z, he said that a lot of the newer rides were actually being built underground. You just didn't know.
A good chunk
of the Indiana Jones ride is actually under the parking lot.
That is true, yeah. Hmm. It goes under a road, I think, to the other side, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's that. Back to Andor. We've got, physical media, as I keep yelling about.
Hey, look.
We're getting Blu-rays of the Disney Plus shows.
We're getting what?
More of them. Yeah. Blu-rays.
50 bucks.
Oh,
50
Blu-rays.
Blu-rays.
Okay.
Blu-rays.
So you're getting The Mandalorian season 1 and 2. You're getting Loki, both seasons. WandaVision. This was all last year. This year, you also got Obi-Wan on physical media last year. This year we're getting, and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Moon Knight, also receiving the same day. So we're getting the complete series, Obi-Wan, Andor, Falcon, Moon Knight, all complete for seasons. Now, it's interesting how they describe these, because they describe Obi-Wan as the complete series.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like
good.
No
I don't want another season.
But they also,
I like that.
But yeah, you're,
but
you're
Andor,
a,
Falcon,
you're a small minority there, Rebecca.
Andor, Andor, Falcon, and Moon Knight are the complete first season.
Hmm.
Take that with what you will. Anyway,
yeah, sorry. Especially since they're shooting whatever they're calling New World Order at this point, and I can't see them going series, movie, series with Anthony Mackie.
No, probably
and company.
But there you go. Anyway, March 12th is when all those will be coming out. You can pre-order those. Bob Iger also said, you know, I've killed a few projects, honest, I swear.
He's killed a few people,
he
too.
Said that?
Yeah. Here's what he had to say. You have to kill things you no longer believe in, and that's not easy in this business, because either you've gotten started, you have some sunk cost, or it's a relationship with either your employees or with the creative community. It's not an easy thing to do, but you got to make those tough calls. We've actually made those tough calls. We've not been public about it, but we've killed a few projects already that we just didn't feel were strong enough. Kevin Feige would like a word about his Star Wars movie.
We're better at keeping it a secret than Warner Brothers, is what he's saying.
Yeah. That's exactly.
He's saying the quiet part out loud, my
that
guy.
That is exactly what he is saying.
You notice just the way it's worded, though, there's a little implied menace of, and I'll kill you, too.
Exactly.
I felt
and
it.
And we're not done yet.
You know this guy has receipts on everyone.
I'm sure he does. But, hey, if you've been to Disneyland, you know their security is above like Fort Knox level. It's crazy. Yeah. Anyway, he was also asked about superhero fatigue. And he said that a lot of people think it's audience fatigue. It's not audience fatigue. They want great films, and if you build it great, they will come.
Yeah.
Iger said, focusing on excellence and respect. Focus is really important. We reduced the output of Marvel, both number of films they make and number of TV shows. And that really becomes critical, but I feel good about the team. I feel good about the IP, and the track record speaks for itself. He went on to say that he thinks that Deadpool and Wolverine is going to be one of their most successful films.
Wow.
Well,
the only film you get this year.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
I mean, Deadpool's the most worn costume at Comic-Cons.
That's
you
true.
Know?
But also, like, would he be saying that if the trailer also didn't hold the record for, like, most viewed trailer, right?
Yeah.
True. All right.
Do you ever get the vibe that Disney pulled a new Coke on us with their CEOs? Ooh. They had Bob Iger, and then they brought in Bob Chapek to make everyone hate him, and then they brought Bob Iger back to be like, see how good Bob Iger
Warner
is.
Brothers, Warner Brothers is trying that. They're just not quite clever enough to pull it off.
Classic Warner Brothers.
Yeah. Oh, look at us. You're going to hate our new CEO forever.
All right. Let's see. He also said that he saw the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes movie, and he said it's going to be huge. He said it's really quite good. And
is that a Disney?
That is now Disney.
It's part of Fox.
Here's the thing.
Of Fox.
So
okay.
I got like a press email about like upcoming Walt Disney Studio releases, and on that list was the first Omen. You know, the Omen.
Yes. Damien Thorne.
To me, confirms Damien as a Disney princess.
Well, you know, Ripley from the Alien movies is a Disney
princess.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Come on, there is a monarchy established in the Aliens movies. There's an alien queen, so all of her female offspring would be princesses.
Sure.
She's Ellen Ripley is actually the villain. She's the Gaston. She comes in, busts everything up.
No,
this is an interesting take.
Hunts like Ripley. No one sweats like Ripley.
No one shoots bugs full of holes like Ellen Ripley. Yeah, she's actually a homicidal maniac. Yeah,
I like it. All right.
Talks to animals, Jonesy.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
But she also talks to the aliens as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or at least, you know, can just go like, nope, you're not going to do that now. They're like, we out.
Okay. Let's see. We got some Superman news. Nicholas Holt was on Michael Rosenbaum's podcast called Inside of You.
Which is fun. If you haven't listened to it, it's a fun podcast.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Here's what he had to say about his Lex Luthor. He says, I think the first ever Lex I saw was you, talking to Michael Rosenbaum from Smallville. I grew up on Smallville.
His is a good Lex.
I can't remember if it was on Channel 4 or Channel 5 in the UK, but like growing up, I was like 11 or 12, I guess. And so that was the show that I would watch and see my first iterations of Superman and Lex and all those stories. Since I've seen Richard Donner's movies and all other ones and kind of seen some of the other performances, but you're the one. I love your portrayal. It's the best. You inhabit him with such depth and charm and then ability to switch, which makes him dangerous and formidable and a great opponent. I love what you did. I have been working it out. There's a bit of All-Star Superman where he talks about his muscles being real and like hard work and all that. And I took that little bit of inspiration as fuel for the fire for his Lex. So
wait, did he see Jesse Eisenberg's Lex though?
Shut your mouth.
Don't
make me
listen,
come to the screen.
My biggest character flaw is that I will always have a crush on Jesse Eisenberg, no matter what he's doing. And Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor, I didn't hate it.
I kind of liked it, personally. I did.
Well, it's been fun being a part of this podcast. I apparently have to go now.
I told you what was my biggest character flaw. But Michael Rosenbaum, like, he's Smallville Lex, such a good Lex. Because he's right. He's so complex. He has depth. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just a really good character.
I'm amazed anybody can even remember him with John Glover's, with his dad, with Lionel Luthor on the screen. Because that guy, he was like a stately lion.
Yes, a stately lion.
Okay, so I need to do a Lex deep dive really fast.
Okay. Mm.
I really did enjoy Michael Rosenbaum's Luthor. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I am a Gene Hackman Luthor, which crazy real estate guy, Lex Luthor. It's wacky, but 78 Superman is my thing, so deal with it. Mm-hmm. But I would argue that Rosenbaum's Luthor is second to me to Clancy Brown's Luthor on the animated series.
Yeah. Yes, 100% agree. Yep.
Clancy Brown's Lex Luthor was amazing.
He could turn on the charm. He could be the most charming, suave, debonair guy, and then be like, "And I need you to kill them when they're done doing the tour."
And I love that Clancy Brown's Lex was the scientist Lex, and that's my favorite kind of Lex.
I like that Clancy Brown has reached the point in his career where he just does cameos in movies where he gets killed almost immediately. But it's like, Clancy!
Tony now brings up a good point, though. Do we get billionaire businessman Lex, or do we get battlesuit Lex, or, God help us,
both.
Do we get both?
I would love both.
Probably
both would be
both,
great.
Right?
Yeah.
Because if there's one thing about James Gunn is he's going to give you a villain where you're going to go, yeah, okay, I can see it.
I see your point.
Pre-Suicide Squad, I would have said no, but that guy threw Starro in.
But also,
good.
The high evolutionary, right? Like, evil.
Yeah.
But like, you're still like,
any John Cryer Lex fans here? Anyone?
You know what? I was not on board with him, much like many people are like, why are you getting Michael Keaton to play Batman? Mm-hmm. Cryer did, for me, a great job for the CW series, Lex Luthor. And even if you look at him, not just in Supergirl, but the way that he portrayed it in the Crisis crossover, I was like, yep, he's good.
And finally, the guy from Walking Dead who played Lex Luthor as a crime boss type, Michael Cudlitz on Lois and Superman and Lois, the most current one.
I hate to do it, but we do have to mention Kevin Spacey's Lex Luthor. Because I love Superman Returns. Superman Returns, I think, is my personal favorite Superman movie.
Honestly,
listen, we can all agree he sucks.
He was good as Lex, I have to say.
I mean, fair. In general, as an actor, he's, you know.
He's not
let's separate the artist from the art.
Yep. Exactly, yeah.
Let's see. Of course, again, if you follow James Gunn on social media, he's always there swatting down the rumors. There was a geek site that was going around saying that Elizabeth Debicki was going to be Wonder Woman in the new DCU.
Tall Wonder Woman!
And James Gunn said no.
Oh.
It's not happening.
No.
No.
Would have liked Tall Wonder Woman.
And he even called out the site. He said, this site lies for clicks.
Mm. You know? Nice. Good for him.
And that's exactly right.
Well, and they, James Gunn, he also shared a picture of them shooting in, what country? Iceland? They were in some snowy country. They were somewhere where there's snow. Mm-hmm. So, like, it looks like they're
Norway.
Filming.
Because he was talking about the fjords for the fortress.
But they showed a picture. And I really like what they're doing because they're being so... not transparent, but sharing what they're doing with this Superman lovingly. Movie and not keeping it like secret, like it's gonna be secret and you're gonna love it when it comes out, and if you don't, I'm gonna sick my bots after you.
It was like it was like the stuff we would see in Starlog while Empire Strikes Back was being filmed.
Yeah
There's a callback
indeed. All right, now I need people who have read and seen Dune Part 2, because let's try to figure out the character.
Seen it on Monday.
Okay, so
well, spoiler alert, Tony, Tim Blake Nelson's not in it.
Yeah. Tim Blake Nelson was completely cut out of the movie, and he's not saying what character he was.
He was a worm. He was a big wormy.
You think he was a navigator?
I don't know.
The navigators weren't human anymore.
He says, I don't think I'm at liberty to say what the scene was. I'll leave that to Dennis if he wants to talk about it. I had a great time over there shooting. And then he had to cut it because he thought the movie was too long. And I am heartbroken over that.
2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah, but there's no hard feelings. I loved it, but I can't wait to do something else with him. We certainly plan to do that. So people are speculating that he may have been Count Hasimir Ferring, an assassin and advisor to the Emperor.
So I don't think we'll ever find out, because I just saw a quote from Dylan where he said that he'll never release anything that's not in the final movie, because if it's not in the final cut, it's dead.
Yeah.
I think
can you talk to Zack Snyder, please?
let's have a lot of talks with Zack Snyder.
Well,
let's have like a sit down conversation with Zack Snyder.
We're going to be talking about Zack Snyder on the after party. We're going to talk about Zack Snyder on the after party. So
I wish
join
we
us.
Wouldn't. But...
I'm really disappointed in you, Zack. I used to be a big fan.
All right. So
all of these Zack Snyder haters coming around, I'm like, welcome. Yeah,
where have you been all my life?
Yeah. And that's why we're saving it for the after party. So
where have you been since Legends of Cahul?
You can join and talk smack about us in the after party, Snyder fans. All right. All right. We got to raise a glass to Akira Toriyama.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Who is absolutely one of the most famous and influential manga artists of all time. He has died 68.
Manga.
Sorry.
Not MAGA.
Nope. Did I say MAGA?
Oh. You said MAGA.
Sorry.
Yikes!
I was reading some news earlier. Sorry about that.
Makes Cyan great.
Do you know
again.
Why you did that, Carrie? It's because they announced, like, his death was announced during the State of the Union, and
that's
so everybody stopped paying attention to the State of the Union.
Anyway. This is the guy who created Dragon Ball, and his art has just been so influential in the manga community. Got to be careful with that.
In the manga community.
Goku, Dragon Ball Z, I mean, you can name them all.
Hang on a second. I just thought of something. Carrie, you just actually gave me a great crossover potential for this. What if all of our political debates were just like giant Dragon Ball fights?
Oh my God!
Boy, now if only talking. Everybody wasn't octogenarians, you know.
So I've been like 22.
I was just going to say, I've been saying for years that all political debates should be handled by Rochambeau.
You know, you read about Rochambeau and you realize what a great analogy that is. The French general Rochambeau in the American Revolutionary War.
He began writing and illustrating in the late 70s, drew the attention of editors of Weekly Shonen Jump, published his debut work Wonder Island in 78, created a string of series for the magazine over the next few years, including his first breakout hit Dr. Slump, which made him a household name in the community. But then it just kept going. Goku and Dragon Ball and all that stuff. So very influential artist. And if you see his stuff, you can spot it. Yeah.
You know,
like
style.
Ake said, a lot of video game stuff too. Chrono Trigger. What was the other one? Dragon Quest. He had one that was exclusive to the Xbox 360 back in the day. Blue Dragon, I think it was called, or something like that. Anyway. Yeah.
There is one problem prolific. With if we were to settle any kind of political discourse with Dragon Ball Z style power-ups and stuff, is about 22 minutes into the third episode of the political discourse, Dr. Satan and his cat would show up and completely derail everything.
Mr. Satan!
He was, oh, people are asking what he died 68. Of and how old was he?
He was young.
He wasn't that old, yeah.
He apparently fell and hit his head. It was blunt.
Oh, my God, my biggest fear.
Some sort of trauma. That's what killed my mother. Yeah.
Oh, my God, what?
Crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she was out helping dad herd sheep.
Her mother.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Really?
The sheep reared up on her, and she fell back and hit her head on a piece of concrete.
That was so awful.
So that's how he went. That's why he was so young. Yeah.
According to Egg, the poop emoji was based on his design. His greatest work ever.
Well, he is influential, isn't he? Anyway, and our final story. Why we're still talking to Dakota Johnson, I don't know, but here we are. She previously hit it during... Huh?
Oh, no, she apparently got engaged to Chris Martin a couple of months ago.
Mr. Coldplay?
Mr. Coldplay himself, yeah.
So if she has a kid, that kid will be Gwyneth Paltrow's kid's sibling?
Well, she's already stepmom to Apple and Moses.
Oh, that's frightening.
I'm actually enjoying her lack of giving a shit right now.
I do too. I like Dakota Johnson. I'm sorry.
The bummer thing about it, though, is she's allowed to get away with it because she's like a Nepo baby squared.
Sure,
because,
sure.
Like, not only are her parents, you know, Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith, I didn't know until like a couple of weeks ago, her grandmother's Tippi Hedren. Yeah. So, like, she just can get away with being so nonchalant and not giving a shit.
Yes. But here's, now during the publicity tour, she was talking about how the script radically changed from what she originally read for Madam Web. But she is now feeling like she perhaps isn't the right choice for a comic book movie. It was definitely an experience for me to make that movie, she said. I had never done anything like it before. I probably will never do anything like it again because I don't make sense in that world, and I know that now. But sometimes in this industry, you sign on to something and it's one thing when you're making it, and then it becomes a completely different thing later, and you're like, wait, what? But it was a real learning experience, and of course, it's not
Who
nice to be a part
of an ambulance. Yeah. Jesus.
It's not nice to be a part of something that's ripped to shreds, but I can't say that I don't understand.
Sydney Sweeney is disavowing herself of that move as well.
It's interesting because, like, I see Dakota Johnson getting a lot of crap from people for being open about this. But, you know, I wonder if Wyatt Russell were to come out and publicly complain about a project he was in, if he would get the shitstorm that she's
getting
right now.
That's the thing. I feel like I talked about this last week because, like, Rachel Ziegler comes out and talks about how she did Shazam 2 because she needed to get paid. Mm-hmm, and everyone's like, how dare you come out and say that? Like, you should be grateful you get to be in a movie.
Hang on, though. Sydney Sweeney did the same thing a couple of months ago in an article, and nobody jumped on her about it.
Yeah, they did.
Hey, do you want to know why? Do you want to know why?
Let's hear it.
It's
bosoms? Is it bosoms?
It's the boobs.
Yeah, but she's not taken seriously for exactly that reason. You see the comments on anything that's posted about her, they're just like, yeah, she only has two talents anyway. Like, it's like you can't say anything without somebody saying something shitty about you.
And what sucks, too, is Sydney Sweeney. I have a ton of respect for Sydney Sweeney because she went to business school before she, like, started acting because she wanted to be able to read her own contracts and understand them.
Smart.
Like, I have a lot of respect for Sydney Sweeney.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's great.
I think she's boobs. I think she's.
Hey, wait a minute.
I'll say this.
Hey, wait a minute.
I guess you can do that because you have bosoms too.
She's great in Euphoria. I say that. She's great in that show. She was not so good on Saturday Night Live. I don't.
Here's
she
the thing.
White Lotus. She's good in White Lotus.
Yeah, because she got Emmy nominations for that and Euphoria. Yeah. And I'll talk about this later when I talk about what movies I watched. I really respect Sydney Sweeney. I really like her. I think she's beautiful. I think I think the world of her. I don't know if she can act.
I haven't decided yet, huh?
Mm. No. Mm. And I'll talk about it a little bit later, but that's kind of where I stand with her.
Let's move on to what we consume this week then, and let's start with Rebecca since we're on the topic. Let's go.
Well, before I talk about movies, I want to talk about a book I finished called Comedy, 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 Drama by Bob Odenkirk. It's Bob Odenkirk's memoir.
I'm a quarter of the way through it right now.
Did he read
it's fantastic. Yes, he reads it.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. It's so just sincere and humble, and it was a book I found myself really needing. It was so interesting to hear him talk about like 90s sketch comedy, right? And the 90s sketch comedy, all its comedy scene. But also it was nice to hear from somebody who was disillusioned with their time at Saturday Night Live because he was miserable at Saturday Night Live and didn't have very nice things to say about it. And I was kind of surprised at how much I needed to hear that.
I haven't gotten to that part yet. I'm excited now.
Yeah, it's really good. And then he, you know, talks about, you know, his turns in dramatic roles and how he wasn't really expecting it, and how Saul Goodman just kind of fell into his lap and he was really hesitant to accept the role of Saul Goodman. Just phenomenal. Like, really, really cool. He has a really nice chapter about his time working with Steven Spielberg and Greta Gerwig. Highly, highly, highly recommend. It was like an instant five-star read for me. I finished my Oscars watch this week. I watched every single Oscar-nominated film this week. If you have any questions about it, just let me know. I have a feeling in my bones that Oppenheimer is going to sweep the Oscars, and us Barbie fans are going to be really disappointed.
Here's the thing. I didn't like Oppenheimer as much as everybody else did. I mean, I thought it was good, but I'm not raving what a great film it was. I thought Killers of the Flower Moon was a better movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think because of Hollywood's inherent racism, I don't think we're going to be as happy with Killers of the Flower Moon as we think we are. I do think Lily Gladstone's going to win for Best Actress.
Hold on a second. Inherent racism in Hollywood? Could you go back?
If we want to talk about it, yeah.
I've not heard of this before.
And then two movies I watched this week, they're older, because now I've finished my Oscars watch, I can kind of catch up on movies that I missed. So I watched Anyone But You, the Glenn Powell, Sydney Sweeney rom-com, based on Much Ado About Nothing by William Shakespeare. And the thing I hate that some movies sometimes do is when they take an enemies to lover trope and say, this is based on Much Ado About Nothing. And it's like, no, you cannot just have an enemies to lovers trope and say it's based on Much Ado About Nothing. You got to have more than that. It's a rom-com. Rom-coms are back, baby. This couple that had met previously, hate each other, go to Australia for Sydney Sweeney's sister's wedding, and hijinks ensue. This has all of the puzzle pieces of a good rom-com. Like, all of the tropes are there, like tropical destination wedding, everyone's hot and rich, right? a killer soundtrack, misunderstandings. All of the pieces for a good rom-com are there, and it just feels like it's a pretend. Like we're just playing pretend. Like, this isn't like a real rom-com movie. This just is like, hey, here's all the fun things that go into a rom-com, and we've put them in a movie. But it doesn't quite mesh together. And this is why I think I came up with the, you know, whole thing about Sydney Sweeney, where I was like, I really like her. I really respect her. I don't know if she can act, because
maybe she's one of those actors, actresses that needs the right director to really bring it out of them.
Like,
you know?
she was funny, and she was given funny opportunities, but the way that she performs is so deadpan. And you can get away with that in shows like Euphoria and White Lotus, where you're playing a snotty teenager.
That's true.
But if you are now in your early 20s and doing roles like this, I kind of feel like you need to give me more. Please just emote a little bit more. I don't know. I gave it like a 3 out of 5 on Letterboxd because it felt like pretend. The other movie I watched was All of Us Strangers, which is Andrew Scott, Paul Mescal, in a, I didn't realize it was like a romance, like fantasy story. So Andrew Scott plays this writer who is revisiting some memories of his like familial trauma while also starting to date Paul Mescal. And it's a really tender, loving movie. I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't that. I was incredibly moved. It gets a little weird at the end, but I am so shocked it hasn't like swept the awards seasons, because best screenplay, Claire Foy is a supporting actress, and Andrew Scott for best actor. I don't know why they got snubbed as egregiously as they did, but I highly, highly, highly recommend All of Us Strangers. It's on Hulu now. I think I gave it 4.5 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
Oh, wow.
All right.
And that's all for me.
Okay. Who's next?
I'll go.
Okay.
I didn't watch any random weird Hulu movies this week. Sorry, Rebecca. Next week, I promise, I'll do another one. But I started rereading Neuromancer, because of the Amazon announcement. Yep. So that's just a super cool book. I'm excited to dive back into that one. I'm about three chapters in. Abbott Elementary, started watching that because it's back. Yeah.
It was like this season or from the beginning?
No, from the new seasons. New seasons back. It's like three or four episodes in.
This new season is so funny.
It's great. I'm loving it. And then where did it go? Okay, so like Lee, started rewatching the X-Men 90s cartoon because got to get ready for the new episodes. And man, Lee, you were right. There is not very many scenes that has the rogue booty like that apocalypse scene.
Some people just tune out when I start talking about keyframe animation. You know, Rebecca, I do listen every time you talked about Taylor Swift in the past.
What's that supposed to mean?
I didn't care about Taylor Swift, but I listened because I care.
About you. It's like... that cartoon has some really cool stuff in it.
Like keyframe art?
Yeah, like really good keyframe art. It also, man, it has some just production quality that's like, oh boy, that's
some
nasty.
Inexplicable dialogue.
Yes.
And I love that Wolverine's, the thing they tried to get away with is Wolverine's like catchphrase was, "I go where I want to go, bub."
Yep.
It's like, that's your badass catchphrase?
I'll go where I want to go.
Yeah. It's
it's a kid's cartoon. They can't go, "I'm the best there is at what I do. And what I do isn't very pretty."
Yeah, you know. But I got to say, overall, I'm really enjoying it. And I'm sure part of that is the nostalgia glasses that I put on before I watch it. But that being said, I still am having a really good time. And the themes that they – it's X-Men. So the themes that they try to cover – are a lot for kids. You know what I mean?
Surprised with the amount of blood in it too.
Yep. Seriously. Fair amount. Yeah. And it just overall, I still think it's totally worth watching. IMDb has it scored at like an 8.7 out of 10.
That's nostalgia.
Yeah.
It's the same people like the best theme song of all time. I'm like, it's literally one of the guys at Saban with a Casio keyboard. It's not that freaking great. They cranked it out in 2 minutes. He did it on
It's no Johnny Quest theme.
Well,
it's true. That's true.
I remember when we didn't have nostalgia filters. Oh, those were the days.
Those days were lame. And then we watched the first two episodes of Shogun on Hulu and FX.
Carl is asking if that's a remake of the TV movie from when we were kids. Yes, it is a remake based on the novel by
James Clavell.
If it doesn't have Richard Chamberlain in it, I'm not watching it.
Lee, I thought of you while I was watching this. You need to give this a shot.
Apparently, it's amazing.
It's wild stuff.
I've heard nothing but amazing things about it.
I'm waiting for it to end so I can binge watch it.
There's some scenes in the first episode that are hard to watch, though, for the graphic, like, violence in it, like crazy.
It'll be good to see Shogun with Japanese people in it.
Do you want me to spoil the most graphic scene so you know to watch out for it if you want to skip forward when it starts showing up? No? Okay, I won't then.
All right.
And then
I want to be horrified in real time.
It is. And then last thing, I highly recommend this random show on Amazon Prime, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy. It is this weird.
I tried watching that.
You didn't like it? Really? So the first episode is definitely pilot style, but it hits its stride going into the second and third episode. It's like a cross between Rick and Morty, Futurama, and Grey's Anatomy, I think. My wife and I had a hoot watching that. We watched the whole first season this last week, and I thought it was really funny. She thought it was really funny, and... It's weird. It's enjoyable.
I like weird.
All right. Weird.
Who's next?
I'll go.
Robert, go.
So let's see. What have I watched this week? A while back, I discovered Ghosts on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, and Ghosts is great.
Which one? The British one or the U.S. one?
The U.S. one. I've not gone back to watch the British one yet.
British one's great, too.
Well, then that... Yeah. I will watch that when we're done with this. But somehow I got my girls watching it. So now it's like the, what are they going to catch from what the, from these conversations going on in the show? Unfortunately, it's all just going, and I'm like, oh, thank you. But I am enjoying it. It's a fun 22 minutes, just like I could just watch this and just be like, started watching Avatar The Last Airbender on Netflix, and I am quite enjoying it. I can I saw the scene that a lot of Katara fans were upset about with her finding the scroll or getting the scroll as opposed to the character development they did in the TV show of how she got it, because she did some things in that in the animated series that they just kind of went, nope, we're not covering that. I'm like Lee said, it's not the same, and it's not going to ruin your experience if you were a big fan of the original. So that was that. Because I'm a guy of a certain age and remember the original show, and since new season, new episodes have started airing, I'm watching SWAT, and I'm enjoying it because I am a police procedural fiend. So
I had the Migos.
It's just like,
What's your favorite? What's your favorite procedural?
NCIS? Honestly, it's probably Law & Order.
Oh,
mine's Lucifer.
Original flavor? Original flavor?
original Law & Order. Although I do like SVU. Never really gotten a Criminal Intent, though.
Yeah, mine's Lucifer.
Lucifer?
Yeah.
It's a criminal procedural.
It is procedural. It is.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about, why is this? And I remember as a kid growing up, I'd watch like cop and detective shows with my father. And it just, that's the thing that's a through line for me now. It's like, give me a good cop show. And I'm just like,
so like, did you get in the Kojak
Beretta
Mix, Rockford Files and Quincy. Yeah.
Okay, so Quincy, oddly enough, my dad wouldn't watch Quincy. My stepmom, however, was just like, I'm here for it.
Oh yeah. So I was always babysat by the elder members of my family, so it was like on Channel 13 in LA from noon to 5. It was all the old detective procedurals.
All those Columbos and everything like that.
I will admit that last weekend, during a moment of weakness, I flipped on MeTV and there was Mannix. And I'm just like, I guess I'm watching this now. Okay.
Does Matlock count?
Kind of.
Later.
Kind of.
I got to say,
I grew up in North Carolina, so it's always the Andy Griffith show for me.
I have to stay away from MeTV, otherwise I will get stuck. So I don't.
That's the thing,
I don't go near it anymore.
Yeah. I also watched a movie called Red Cliff from 2008 by John Woo.
Oh.
It is a Wuxia movie set in the Han Dynasty in like 208 AD. It also stars Tony Leung, who was Wen Wu in Shang-Chi
as a
general.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it is the cut that we watched is 148 minutes. The original was done in two parts, and it's like 280 minutes of movie.
Holy moly.
Yeah, but I mean, it's epic. We're doing a Wuxia run of movies now, so this was our first Wuxia. One. Huh?
We need to talk Wuxia.
Okay. Yeah,
Lee knows. Lee knows his Wuxia.
And despite not getting the fleshlight bucket, I did see Dune 2.
Ah! Did you see it in IMAX?
I did not see it in IMAX. Okay. I just went down the street here to the Cottonwood
theaters. I need to talk to somebody who's seen it in IMAX yet. I haven't.
Okay.
You did.
I am willing to see it again because I would love to see it in IMAX. It's just like one of these, I've got a couple of hours here. It's down the street. Go. So.
I still say if you have the opportunity to see it in IMAX, even if it's not your first viewing, it's so worth it. Because
I believe it.
All right. Yeah.
And for the comics fans, really quick, again, back to Superman 78. This is continuing the Metallo storyline. This is a still fun read. Vendetti has a really good take on the 78 Superman sensibility. Mm.
I'm here to fight Marvel, for truth, justice, and the American way.
Yes. Miss Marvel, Mutant Menace. Still co-written by Iman Vellani. This is a still fun, without quite as much of the drama as the rest of the Fall of X. But going back to the X-Men with Magic and Shadowcat and the return of Lockheed. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. The return of Lockheed.
What they are doing with Kitty Pryde, Catherine Pryde now.
Yeah, Captain Kate.
They are literally going back to the early 80s where Wolverine trained her to be an assassin.
Well, Wolverine and Ogun, because she's gone straight Ogun on some people.
Yeah,
I'm just like,
she has.
Whoa.
She has.
Wow.
Because there's a bit during Fall of X where she just takes down.
She's like, nope, I'm done.
And it's not you think about her powers and how badly she can mess somebody up if she decides, you know what, these guys don't deserve to live. So she's literally just phasing people into solid objects and mm-hmm. leaving them.
And, all right.
Yeah.
All right, then. That's Robert. Tony?
I went already.
No, it's Lee.
Yeah, it's Lee.
Right. Sorry. Me. Speaking of Fall of X, I'm finally getting caught up with Immortal X-Men, which leads up to Fall of X. I did a good trade here.
Ooh.
The Kieran Gillen stuff is fun. I still have a soft spot in my heart for some of the older comics that started the new launch of X stuff, but it's all been solid. What I don't like is a lot of the crossover stuff that they threw into the Fall of X storyline, because you know what? The Wolverine and Ghost Rider storyline has nothing to do with any of it. You don't need to read it. So if you're following along in your Marvel Unlimited app to get caught up on those storylines, just read the titles you like. You know?
Yeah, because there's like something like 12 titles in all in the Fall of X.
Wow. That's
like,
a lot.
It's a lot.
I freaking love Uncanny Avengers. I love X-Force, your X-Men Red, X-Men Blue, X-Men. Those are all great titles. Read that stuff. The other stuff, just read it if you like a little bit of candy sprinkling on your Sunday. So television-wise, Feud, Capote versus the Swans. I hate Truman Capote with a passion. he's a terrible human being. I hate his voice. And I have to say, Tom Hollander is doing an amazing job playing Truman Capote. So I can only watch in limited bursts, even though it's fascinating and the cast is phenomenal.
But didn't you love him in the movie where he played the character Lionel Twain?
He gets the whininess down. That he'll, I just want to go home and see what's going on with the television. It's just no world for a person as delicate as I.
Did you guys see the interview where Tom Hollander said that he got Tom Holland's paycheck by accident
once?
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. Cool. Finally, we're going through our Coen brothers' renaissance, and I actually blame Fargo, the series, for this.
Oh, really?
So they're just executive producers on it. So we finally finished Fargo season 4. I did not see the supernatural element of that coming on, where you find out that a slave ship captain is part of a family and has been following them for hundreds of years, and things go very horribly wrong if you mess with that family.
Yeah.
Brilliant season. It's hard because it's the 50s and it's about a black crime family and an Italian crime family, and it just talks about inequality, and it's kind of amazing.
Good stuff, though.
We watched No Country for Old Men for the first time.
Friendo. Oh.
And
man, that's a good one.
You know, when the Coens don't Coen, but they Coen instead, it's really brittle. It's like their first movie, Blood Simple, was not a funny movie. There is no humor to it at all. And that's No Country for Old Men. It's just, we're going to beat you about the face and shoulders for 2 hours, and you're going to enjoy it because Javier Bardem is so amazing.
Air pressure murder devices.
Call
it. Yeah. This is what call we kill it. Cattle with. But it's fantastic. Really, really good movie. Monarch Legacy of Monsters on Apple. First couple episodes, I was just like, and then all of a sudden I was like, yes.
Picks off.
Give me more. The anime series on Netflix, Delicious in Dungeon, caught up on that. Now I know how to cook Kraken. Thank you very much.
Oh, good.
X-Men animated series. It's so funny because Carrie and I and Robert, we were all adults when this show debuted, and so we still ate it up. But I remember watching it and going, "God, if they had just put some money into this, you know, my eternal complaint about anything."
Budget,
and especially as an anime fan, we started seeing stuff coming out of Japan in the mid '90s that was mind-boggling. Like in '96 with Cowboy Bebop and a bunch of other stuff, where they were just like, "Yeah, this is regular television animation." Suck it, American audiences. but sometimes they did kind of play with stuff. But at the same time, are American kids so stupid that Storm actually has to narrate every power she has?
Yeah. I, Storm, mistress of the elements, summon a sleet tornado to wrap you up and tuck you into bed.
So, God bless you, Lee.
It's not like anybody else is doing that. It's not like Colossus is running in going, I, Colossus, shall burk myself out of battle so I can punch things hard.
Concussive blasts from my eyeballs.
Yeah. And Rogue's not like, I'm going to get you, sugar.
No, she does say that.
Powers. Yeah, but they do. But they also play with stuff like
keyframe art, sugar.
They do, like Carol Danvers is in there, and they do some interesting things. So it's still 98% of a shitty show.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry. I agree. 90, with on
92
one.
At most.
Yeah. Watched Hannah Gadsby's Gender Agenda, and I have one complaint. I thought it was a great idea to bring a bunch of queer comedians onto a show to do stand-up.
Oh, this but is I've new? Seen, is this new?
I think it's relatively new.
Okay.
I've seen some of these performers before. They toned it down for Netflix. Mm. And it's like, if you're going to do...
Yeah.
Really good comedy. Do your comedy. Don't tone it down, you know. So it's still good, especially if there's a part of you that doesn't quite jive with gay people. Maybe give this a chance and realize that comedy's comedy and people are people and that we all have room at the table. So
exactly.
And then I should throw this out before I get to the last two things that I watched. My crime procedural show was Homicide: Life on the Street.
Oh yeah! Oh, hey, I grew up in Baltimore, so it's like I don't have to watch that.
That's a good one.
You guys should do a separate crime procedural show.
Yes. The episode where Vincent D'Onofrio gets stuck between the car and the platform.
Yes.
You find out he got cut in half, and they spend the whole episode talking to a guy who's just going to be dead by the end of the episode.
Yes.
And
that was
it's
a fantastic
amazing.
Episode.
It's amazing. Okay, so the last two things. Last night we wanted to watch comedy, so talking about gay comedy, we watched a movie called Bottoms.
I watched the trailer for this.
Happy
International
funny. Women's Day. I thought it was best movie of 2023.
I really loved it. I laughed my ass off. That movie is so funny. What's her name?
Ayo Edebiri and Rachel Senna.
So funny. And just like this movie is like if all of the teen sex comedies of the 80s had actually been done from a gay woman's perspective, with just a little bit of Heathers thrown in for fun. It's these two dorky girls who are committing the greatest sin of the 2020s, which is being gay and untalented.
Untalented gays, please come to the office. Yeah. Looks like that's you guys.
And so they decide they're going to start a self-defense fight club. Mm-hmm. So they can convince cheerleaders to kiss them, and it just goes off the rails from there. So.
Marshawn Lynch improvised all of his. He improvised all of his parts, and two, this movie made him have a better relationship with his sister, who is gay.
Oh, yeah,
nice. Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because his entire perspective on feminism changes on how he feels about the fight.
One of my favorite parts is when he's teaching about the Holocaust. He's like, "The Holocaust, it happened," and then the goth kid raises his hand. He's like, "No, it happened."
So funny. It's 90 rules. It's 90 minutes long, and it was like it was one of the best comedies I've seen in at least a decade.
This was one of my most favorite movies of 2023. It was so good.
It's so solid. And then Rachel didn't want to stop watching comedies, and so she was flipping through the comedy section, and she said, "Oh, I haven't seen this one yet," and started this Spinal Tap.
I haven't seen that either.
Well, Tony, that's okay.
Well, did the heavens open? And
yes. Yes. That my wife has a laugh that if anybody's heard when she's truly delighted by something, it's the greatest laugh in the world.
Yes.
And we're about 30 seconds into Big Bottom, and she's screaming at the TV. And that went on for the whole 84-minute runtime of the movie.
It's absolutely brilliant.
I'm amazed that at 42 years later, the Stonehenge scene still kills me, and it's only a minute long.
Yeah.
Tony, if you're ever wondering about where the term "it goes up to 11" comes from.
I did know that much, at least, that it's from this Spinal Tap.
Mm-hmm. I've seen this movie a dozen times, and I never got the Isle of Lucy joke.
Oh, you really? Oh.
Until last night. And he's just like, "Yes, Drumma died. It was tragic. It was on an Isle of Lucy, and Rachel's dying." And I'm like, "What's so? Oh, my God." Stupidest joke ever, and I didn't get it. So
here's the thing about before we move on, Spinal Tap. I just got to share this with you. When the movie was put out, all those years ago, I was working at all nights at a country station in Provo. I was watching MTV, and I recognized these actors, and they're selling it on MTV like this is a real band.
A real band.
This is a real band. Here is their video, and I'm like, no, that's that's from Lenny and that's the guy from Lenny and Squiggy, that's and Michael I know this Kim. Other guy too. He's on National Lampoon Radio Hour. I knew all these people. That's Harry Shearer. He's on Saturday Night Live.
And Harry Shearer is so freaking funny in this.
And so I knew it was a joke, but I went to a theater when it opened just before my midnight shift, and nobody else in the theater knew it was a joke. So they were all revved up, and so when the lights went down, you got people screaming, throwing up the devil horns, and yelling "Rock and roll!" And I'm like, "Oh, this is perfect, absolutely."
Well, but that's what's so brilliant about it is that they all played their own instruments. They're all accomplished musicians. They're all actually singing.
Yeah,
the songs are ludicrous enough to almost be real metal songs.
Exactly,
like they're just this close, right?
Yeah.
And I was reading a thing that said it's the only band out there that's not part of the music industry, never actually put out an album, even though they put out an album,
because
the soundtrack is the album, but they have nothing to do with the music industry and they're not a band, but they're a band and they had a top-selling album. So it's like this huge conundrum, and they're really, really talented, and it's kind of amazing because there's a couple times where you're listening to that and going, this kind of sounds like everything that we were making fun of during Peacemaker or the terrible metal that was playing during that. So
exactly. If I told them once, I told them 1,000 times. It's Spinal Tap and then Puppet Show. It's on the marquee. It's
also finding out that Christopher Guest is British was a smack to the head. I mean, he grew up in the States and in Britain. He's also a Baron.
Yeah, I was going to say he has royal blood.
Yeah, he should give it back.
He should. Anyway, anything else, Lee? Or is that?
No, I've taken 45 minutes of valuable time. Just
no, it's wonderful. I could talk about Spinal Tap all day. All right, Resident Alien Season 3.
Yay!
It's been perfect. It's been good. It's been really good. Finished Death and Other Details.
I have heard from a lot of different sources that they dropped out of that show about halfway through.
And it takes some twists. After you guys left, it got good.
I love Mandy Patinkin, and I hate the rest of the cast.
Well, I guess you can't get over that.
I will stay up late and watch it without my wife because it's one of those about the whole thing.
That my only regret was that I didn't wait so I could binge it because I just wanted to binge it. It's a show that deserves to be binged. Went back and rewatched Age of Ultron yesterday because Sue was busy doing something.
It's not bad.
And I think it's quite underrated, actually. I think it was dismissed and it shouldn't have been.
But you get the theater protocol.
Yeah. There's a lot of great stuff in that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Agreed. And then, of course, for International Women's Day yesterday, Sue and I watched Deadpool. So.
And then.
If you know, you know. Games.
Oh, yeah. That's a thing.
That part, yes. Unless you don't have anything. Yeah.
There's games.
I will say they did the new Spider-Man 2 stuff drops this week.
Yeah, the update with the new game plus and whatnot.
I haven't.
I thought you had more to add.
There's apparently a part where you can shrink your player down to action figure size and
for photography
and
mode.
Take pictures. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yep.
Just get action figures. Duh.
Mm-hmm. Well, not everybody has amazing sets in their houses that they can film their action figures with, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Or just shooting other people's houses.
So we got, let's see, a new Contra game. Contra, Operation Galuga.
Operation Galuga?
Galuga.
Not Galuga? Operation Beluga?
Nope.
Because that's a perfect Galuga. Opportunity for a crossover there, but anyway.
Operation Galuga. We have... So this was announced a couple weeks ago, Star Wars The Battlefront Classic Collection.
Oh,
so it's all the Star Wars Battlefront games from the late 90s, early 2000s.
God knows we can't make a new game.
And, well, they tried. They made 2 new Battlefront games, and they weren't as good as the old ones.
For me, the fun part of that game was the game that I created myself, which was I would go and hide, and I would be a sniper and just shoot everybody.
There is, in the new Battlefront, though, there's the scenes on Naboo where Darth Maul shows up, and they are actually terrifying.
Mm.
Actually, you know what? Battlefront 2 had a pretty cool single-player campaign with, I can't remember her name, but she was great in it.
Princess Shark, Leia.
Shark Fucko was
no. It was
no. That's Glup Shitto.
It was. It was the actress. It was the actress from the fantasy football comedy show that they named her
the league. Oh, yeah, Shiva.
Yeah, it's the actress that played Shiva Kamini, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh.
She was really good in the game. It's only like a 5 or 6 hour campaign, but it was really good. All right. Let's see. Hi-Fi Rush is coming out on PS5 on the 18th. That one is a big deal because it's one of the Microsoft exclusive games that they announced coming out on other systems. Everyone freaked out about. So, and just Hi-Fi Rush in and of itself is a really cool game. So
no,
there you go.
No, that's Jet Moto 2.
It is not. You're right. They're very different.
Yeah. Well, because Jet Moto 2, you can jump your jet ski off of LAX.
Yep.
Because LA is underwater. Duh.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you. I'm just like, wait, yeah. But
I wasn't sure whether he was blueberrying me or
no,
not.
No, seriously. The first time I jumped my jet ski off LAX, I said, finally, my dreams have come true.
There you go. All right. Is that everything?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Okay, well, let's head to the after party. Thank you all for being here. Thank you so much. The after party begins here in a few moments, so give us a few minutes to go potty and that kind of thing. The Geek Show got this covered if you want to.
I got a roast in the oven. I got a check.
You do?
Yeah.
Roasted eggplant, maybe?
A big, big eggplant.
big old thing of vital wheat gluten. It's all just like huge.
Interesting. Interesting.
Live long and prosper, bitches. Push the button, Frank.
Okay, I did it.